Well, good morning and welcome to our continuing study, and we're in Luke chapter 5 now. And last week we covered the section through verse 10 where the Lord had gone down to the lake and called some disciples and told them to launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And today we're taking up in verse from verse 11 through 16. We'll read that real quickly here. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but to go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. So today we're looking at this cleansing. It's interesting that when they refer to this dread disease, that they call it a cleansing instead of mostly. Sometimes, occasionally, it's referred to as a being healed from it, but generally it's called, referred to as a cleansing. And so several things that we want to note in this portion of Luke concerning this cleansing of the leper from a certain city, and likely that was Capernaum. Matthew 8:5 notes that in this relation to this, that he was entering into the city of Capernaum in Matthew 8:5, and the leper probably would have been outside the city because that was where they were commanded to be if they were found to have leprosy and be deemed unclean from Leviticus chapter 13. And he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And we noted that there was immediate restoration. And then, interesting, there's a command to tell no man, but instead to present himself to the priest according to the law of Moses for a testimony of them. And we'll look into that. There's so much symbolism in this that directs our attention unto the Lord. And first, I thought it'd be good if we had a little background on leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as it's now mostly called. And in Old and New Testament times, it was a terrible scourge of a disease. I'm sure you're all aware of that. And it was referred to by some as living death. What a picture of sin and the fall, living death. And as in Adam, when he sinned, he didn't die physically immediately, but he did die immediately spiritually. And the effects of leprosy is metaphorically are really similar to this, that it starts out with a little red spots, and they're caused by they've discovered, this handsome fellow from Norway found that they were a bacteria related disease, and it progressed slowly over time and attacks the peripheral areas like fingers and toes and nose and the skin particularly, and it attacks the nerves and damages them and causes you to lose your sensation of pain and heat, in any kind of injury. There's no feeling, so a lot of times the wounds go unheeded because you don't feel, you might be bleeding. We have some family members that has a member that's paraplegic, and her lower extremities have no feeling. And one time a cat just sat there and clawed her leg all to ribbons, and she didn't even know it because she couldn't feel anything. And she got terrible infection from it. Well, that's kind of one of the things that can happen with leprosy. And as a result, you know, you see some pictures and stories where they've lost their toes or their fingers or their nose is kind of decomposed, and so awful, awful disease. And kind of in the same way, you know, sin, it starts out in small ways and gradually eliminates the person's cognizance of it, and so the damage becomes worse and worse, and ending in complete destruction. And in modern times, leprosy, there's apparently a couple of varieties. One's a little more severe than the other one, but they're treatable with modern medicines and steroids, and recovery is possible in 6 to 12 months, depending on what stage you're in and what variety you have. And but the stigma of leprosy is still the same. It's been eliminated in most places on the planet, except for in some Asian countries and India, countries that have overpopulation and poverty are seen to be the ones that are stricken with it the most now. But in the times that we're talking about here in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was no cure for this outside of God, and it was rare for someone to be cleansed of it. Remember in our previous lesson, we talked about Naaman the Syrian. word was brought to him by a captive girl that said, the God of Israel can take care of that for you, and he went. And so as we look in this healing, this cleansing, the law of Moses called for the person who was declared to be a leper by the priest. If they looked like they were coming down with leprosy, they were brought to the priest, and then the priest. Chapter 13 is a real long series of diagnoses that they used to determine what was wrong with you and whether it was really leprosy or not. And if it was, there were specific things that must occur. And so if they were deemed to be leprous, they were declared unclean and were commanded to be placed outside the camp, and no contact was to be made with them. They were shunned. They were just disassociated with. And in chapter 14, it's called the Law of the Leper, and that's our title of our lesson today, The Law of the Leper. And it's a pretty detailed diagnosis and pronouncements by the priest according to the law of Moses. And in Leviticus, I'll just read a couple of verses from Leviticus 13 for just because of the time that we're under. And Leviticus 13:3 says, the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. In verse 45, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. In verse 46, and all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now, Strong's defines unclean as the pronouncement of, as in the pronouncement on the leper, is foul, contaminated, polluted, especially in a moral or ceremonial sense. And what a picture of sin in that. What a true picture. Remember back in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4 and 5, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do anything these things to you, to have compassion upon thee, but thou was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born. Cast out. And in Isaiah, we'll read Isaiah 4:1, chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards. And why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. In addition, the leper was cast out, cut off from the people, isolated from society, just as sin separates us and isolates us from God. Remember in Isaiah 59, verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, between the Holy One. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so as we come to Luke chapter 5, verse 11, and he's approaching Capernaum, this is the situation that this leper is in. He's been pronounced unclean by the priest. He's been cut off from society. He's been cast out. And so we find him coming to Christ. Behold, a man full of leprosy. It says he was full, so he was probably like in your stage 5 leprosy, you know, not just your little red spots and beginning leprosy. It says he was full of leprosy. He was probably in awful condition. What a picture of our sin that we're under. And he was full of leprosy, and seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou will. And so some things that we note here, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This man was full of leprosy, not just mild or beginning, but full of it. And no hope outside of Christ. Back then, they didn't have steroids and all the medical things that they use now to treat it with. There was nothing. And he says, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He recognized supernaturally something had happened to him. He had to have been born again, because he recognized him as Lord and he recognized him as sovereign, because he said, if thou wilt. And you know, you might recall from Exodus 33:15-19, and also quoted in Romans, the 9th chapter, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. It's up to him. It's sovereignly up to him. And so this leper says, it's up to you. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. You know what? It just made me think of Ezekiel chapter 36. All those, remember when we study that from time to time, and I say, okay, in your Bibles, highlight all the times that God says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. I will cleanse you. I'll give you a new heart. I will do this. I will do that. All these things that God does on behalf of his people that he's loved from before the foundation of the world. I will. And notice the certainty of it. It's not, I might, or I could make it possible that this might happen. Is I will be thou clean. And remember one of our previous lessons, we talked about when the Lord says be light in Genesis. The Lord says, light be, and light was, and so forth. So his word was power. No more leprosy. It said it immediately left him. The results were instantaneous. The result was right now. It was complete. And he was cleansed of it. And the Lord, then this interesting part here that takes us back to Leviticus, the Lord says, tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest as the law commands, and show thyself to him for a testimony unto them. Well, what kind of testimony would we be talking about? I've been cleansed by the sovereign Lord, God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. I've been cleansed. That's the, you know, I was thinking, when he showed up at the priest, I bet the priest had to go look that up. I'll bet he had to say, just a minute, I got to go get my Leviticus roll out and look up chapter 14, which is called the Law of the Leper, to see what I'm supposed to do, because this just never happens. It's, you know, all the other sacrifices and things they did every day or every week, and, you know, kind of on a schedule. And but this was a rare occasion. And so he was to go and be a testimony to them about Christ. Well, the Lord's always saying, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the things concerning himself. And there's nothing different in Leviticus chapter 14. It's when you start reading it with the eye on Christ. And, you know, I tried to look up Norm's lesson on Leviticus 14, but it's not on sermon audio that I could find. And so, anyway, he probably covered this, but we'll go through it again anyway. But he was supposed to go and present himself to the priest for a testimony. And remember, the priest, in reality, they were supposed to be declaring the gospel out of these Old Testament scriptures. They were supposed to be saying, here's why we're sacrificing this lamb. Here's what the blood means. Here's what this means. Here's what that means. And in Christ sending this man to the priest, he was fulfilling the law, because the law said that this leper who was cleansed must present himself to the priest. And so if we look over in Leviticus chapter 14 and look at this portion of the law of the leper, which this cleansing, which could have only been accomplished by God, in verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And that priest, his job, and just like Philip's job, and just like Norm's job, is to start at the same scripture and preach unto them Christ. And this, the instructions in the law of the leper were very precise. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. Remember, the leper was cast out of the camp, so the priest came out to him to examine him and look up this procedure and implement what it said. And it says, the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Two clean birds as prescribed by the law of Moses. Most likely those were most common. It was a couple of turtle doves or young pigeons is what it tells us in verse 30 of chapter 14 is what they used. And cedar wood was aromatic, and it was least susceptible to corruption. It was a good solid wood. And scarlet cloth, the scarlet symbolizing this blood of Christ, and some hyssop. It's kind of a mint scented plant, and it kind of bushy, grows up in stalks and has little purple flowers on it, and remind me of a plant that we have in our garden, some pentstemons. It looks just like it in the picture on the internet. And it was to be used in this ceremony here. And such symbolism in it. I just couldn't get over it as I was reading through it. Remember in the Passover, the first Passover in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 22, it says, ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, the blood of the lamb, and strike it on the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. And when the Lord passed over, if he saw the blood, he would pass over them. So the actions then prescribed by the priest is just a picture, a metaphor for the death of our Savior for sin. In verse 5 of Leviticus 14, the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. Think of the symbolism in that. This bird shall be killed in an earthen vessel, an earthen vessel that Christ was given to come down and tabernacle among us to save his people from his sin. He shall be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And I looked that word running up. I was wondering if they killed him over a little creek or something, but that word running means alive or living water. So again, more symbolism there of Christ, the well of living water springing up. And as for the living bird in Leviticus 14:6, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the living water. So he dipped them birds in there. And then verse 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed. Remember, he's already been cleansed by Jesus, but this is just a picture of the gospel that the priest is supposed to enact out to declare the gospel, to declare what's going on. He shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. Remember, Naaman was supposed to be dipped in the Jordan River 7 times as well. And the priest shall pronounce him clean. And then he shall let the living bird loose in the open field. I love what Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary. He says, two birds, the one dying for our sins, the other rising for our justification. What symbolism. It brings to mind Galatians 4, you know, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son in an earthen vessel made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, under this law of the leper, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And then, after the application of blood, there always must be blood. After the application of blood, the priest declares him clean. Verse 6, for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and he shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And then he that was cleansed is presented before the Lord clean. Verse 11, and the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He shall present that leper before the Lord clean. I call your attention to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot, not even one of those little red spots, not any wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. What a picture of being cleansed from the leprosy of sin. And so it doesn't end there. It just gets better and better. Then the chapter 14 in the law of the leper says, okay, after he's been presented to the Lord, consecrate him. Verse 12, and the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and weigh them for a wave offering before the Lord, and he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And here comes the good part. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Well, where does that sound familiar from? Well, I ask you to turn over to Exodus chapter 29, verse 20. Exodus 29:20. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood on the altar round about, and thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar and the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed in his garments and his sons' garments with him. It's the same thing is applied to one that has been cleansed, one that has been unpolluted, one that has been made without spot, without wrinkle. And we find over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that, my friends, is the law of the leper. Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believeth. That's from Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And see, we're out of time, so we'll stop there. And the next time we'll take a look at a certain day where he runs into a person taken with a palsy. And we'll look at that and see what wonderful things are develop out of that. So in the meantime, my friends, be free. And we'll turn it back over to our host there.